Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, May 8th, 2018. The time is 2:03 p.m. If you're joining us off net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the state capitol, fifth floor, room 532. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
It's hot out there.
It is hot out there. Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
And we should be joined shortly by Senator Stevens and Senator Machicki, who are on other state business at this time. We have two items on today's afternoon agenda. HB 260 is Fish and Game License Electronic Forms. It's an introduction to that bill. And a carryover from this morning's discussion, HB 331, Tax Credit, Certificate Bond, Corporation, and Royalties. This public hearing was scheduled for that at 1:30 this afternoon. In deference to those who might be waiting, we wanted to come back upstairs and make sure that we, as close as possible, were able to open the public hearing and begin testimony on 331. If I could direct members' attention to the CS for House Bill 331, Finance, Version U. A brief history on this item. It was presented to us by the administration this morning. We heard from bond counsel, one of the financiers, Ing Capital, ING, who had financed some of the tax credits, Rebecca Logan from the Alliance, and Kara Moriarty from the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. This afternoon is meant for the general public. That the public hearing is open. The first person waiting to testify is Ben Mulligan from the Alaska Chamber of Commerce, OffNet. Mr. Mulligan, welcome to Senate Finance. Mr. Mulligan. He's on mute. Mr. Mulligan.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
We can. Welcome to Senate Finance. Your name for the record, and then please proceed with your testimony.
All right. For the record, my name is Ben Mulligan, and I am the Vice President of the Alaska Chamber. The Alaska Chamber supports the efforts of the state and the legislature to pay its obligations to reestablish its credibility and reputation to reinvigorate future investment. House Bill 331 looks at the state's unpaid obligation on hundreds of millions of tax credits earned by companies who invested in Alaska for the exploration and production of oil and provides an out-of-the-box approach to pay off those credits. The state has gone too long in paying off its obligations, has created a negative business climate which has damaged its reputation and made companies fearful of making any future investments in Alaska. The Alaska Chamber encourages the Senate Finance Committee to look at this avenue as well as any others in order to make Alaska once again a place known for its positive business reputation and credibility amongst the business community. Thank you.
Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, thank you, Mr. Mulligan, for testifying before Senate Finance. The next person waiting to testify is Mr. Ed King. Mr. King, welcome to Senate Finance. Your name for the record, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Ed King, and I'm the principal economist for King Economics Group. Prepared statement. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I want to voice my support for House Bill 331. Right now, there are at least four known projects that are stalled due to financial constraints and the financial constraints of the companies involved. These constraints exist because, at least in part, of their expectations that they would be receiving cash for the tax credits that they've earned. These companies invested in marginal oil fields because they made sense under the program that was in place, and now they're sitting on oil resources that are unable to be developed because they don't have the capital or the ability to draw capital out of the market. So long as Alaska has given them a reason to hope for these cash payments, these resources will continue to sit idle. These companies won't declare bankruptcy, and the banks won't foreclose as long as there's opportunity for them to hold out for the cash. So meanwhile, those resources are sitting undeveloped. After this legislative session, I think that there's too much evidence on the record from the administration and from members of the legislature to deny that these obligations are obligations that the state must pay. And it's clear that relying on the state repurchasing, it's clear that they're relying on the state to purchase those credits was a rational thing to do. I do still believe that the state never had a statutory obligation to purchase these credit certificates, but I do think that there are legal grounds for them to now demand performance. And that threat of litigation undermines the reason that canceling this program would have been a good idea. The process of bankruptcy and court proceedings would keep these resources from being developed for years to come. So from the perspective of resource management, I believe that we need to get these fields into production as soon as possible. And for those reasons, I've come around to supporting House Bill 331. Because the state doesn't have enough revenues to make all of the purchases at once, the only option would be to draw $1 billion out of savings. Doing so would result in increased risk to the PFD and the state's ability to manage its future finances. So I agree that a slower payment of these purchases, like the statutory formula, would make more financial sense, but that tactic is at odds with resource development goals. A slow payment schedule doesn't give the companies the capital that they would need to further development. In fact, it probably only pays the interest on their loans, which would just have the effect of delaying the foreclosure and never actually getting the resources developed. House Bill 331 is a way to achieve both goals. It gets the capital into the hands of the companies and also gives the state the advantages of a slower repayment schedule. So this could be a win-win for the state as we get both the development for the resources and the benefit of interest by leaving more cash in our interest-bearing account. However, I do recommend one amendment to the bill. I would worry that future legislatures might utilize the savings from this bonding program to increase future spending. So I think that it would be in the committee's interest to consider a way to protect those savings. One way that I could recommend that that could happen is by appropriating a amount of money to the Alaska Capital Income Fund that would correlate to the amount of money that you're borrowing. That way the money in the fund would spin off the interest payments to pay the debt service. And thank you for your support of the bill, and thank you for your service to the state.
Are there questions from committee members? Mr. King, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. The next person waiting off-net is Marliana Hall from the Resource Development Council. Ms. Hall, welcome to Senate Finance.
Good afternoon, Madam Co-Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Marliana Hall. I'm the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. I'm here to testify this afternoon with RDC's support for House Bill 331. RDC is a statewide trade association comprised of individuals and companies from Alaska's oil and gas, mining, forest products, fisheries, and tourism industries, as well as the 12 land-owning Alaska Native corporations. Our membership also includes labor, municipalities, and boroughs, the support industry sector, and individuals from around the state. HB 331, while not perfect, is a significant step in the right direction and would help stimulate Alaska's economy by encouraging investment on the North Slope. Investment leads to new production, and new production will result in more state revenue over the long term. The increased activity resulting from HB 331 would also generate more Alaskan jobs and help strengthen the private sector, which is the foundation of Alaska's economy. I cannot state enough, the private sector's underlying health is the key to sustaining jobs, state government, and our overall economy. As you know, House Bill 331 would pay off more of the hundreds of millions the state owes for oil and gas tax credits, and the discount more than covers the additional costs of interest to the state on the bond debt. Passage of House Bill 331 would also help restore Alaska's reputation as a stable and reliable oil and gas jurisdiction. The uncertainty surrounding the payment of tax credits has led to projects being stalled and credit frozen. These credits, getting these credits off the books will benefit the state and give small exploration companies the much-needed capital to see them move forward with promising new opportunities when our economy needs them the most. Thank you for the opportunity to express RDC's comments on House Bill 331 today.
Ms. Hall, thank you for testifying on behalf of House Bill 331. Are there questions from committee members? The next person waiting to testify here in Juneau is Barbara Huff-Tuckness, Alaska Teamsters. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of Senate Finance. For the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I'm the Director of Legislative and Governmental Affairs for Teamsters Local 959, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today in favor of House Bill 331. While the mechanics of this particular bill are rather complicated, at least from our perspective, looking at Alaskan workers and the impact that this particular legislation has on many of the smaller companies out there and their ability, even with the unfortunate haircut that they're going to end up taking with respect to this bill, at least it does provide an opportunity for some much-needed capital out there. I think that the changes that the House Finance Committee also made in the bill were very positive, encouraging Alaska Hire as well as Alaska workers. And I would go on record, we have had quite a few of those small companies over the last couple of years that actually have hired Alaska workers and have encouraged many of the Alaska contractors that we do day-to-day business with. So this will be an opportunity to create additional jobs out there and additional work for many Alaskans. And thank you again for the opportunity to speak, and we hope you move the bill.
Are there questions from committee members?
Thank you.
Thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. Ms. Huff-Tuckness, please extend a hello to George on my behalf. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on the CS for House Bill number 331, Finance Version U? Anyone at all? Off net, online? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. With that, I'd ask members to set aside House Bill 331. As you recalled, tomorrow I asked amendments to be to my office by 9 a.m. If I could direct members' attention to House Bill 260. It's an act relating to the possession of certain licenses, tags, and permits issued by the Department of Fish and Game and providing for an effective date. I'd like to invite Representative Dan Sadler to the microphone, and Morgan Foss. Representative Sadler, your name for the record, and then please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and good afternoon, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, Representative Dan Sadler, representing House District 13, Chugiak, Birchwood, Eagle River, and Joint Base Ellendorf-Richardson. I want to thank the members of the committee and the chairman for hearing House Bill 260. Very briefly, this bill lets folks display their recreational hunting, fishing, or trapping license in electronic form, as well as the paper form that is now the only legal version. But if you've ever slipped into the river while fighting a king salmon or sat in a leaky duck blind in the rain, you know that sometimes paper licenses aren't worth the paper they're printed on. So, and while you might misplace your wallet with your license, your smartphone is always within reach. And I guess if I asked everybody, I'd probably see a lot of cell phones out there. Ms. Madam Chair, in Alaska law, you are already allowed to use digital versions of your car insurance to show proof to a law enforcement officer, and there's other provisions that allow you to have a digital version of a minor offense citation for court purposes. Electronic recreational licenses offer several advantages. They'd make it easier for outdoorsmen and women to buy and carry their licenses. It would improve compliance with state fish and game laws. It would allow to attract new outdoorsmen by lowering one barrier to entry. It would enhance Alaska's reputation as a tourist destination by making legal fishing easier for visitors. And it would reduce expenses for printing for the license agency. During the process in our body, the bill got better. Now the version gives immunity to police officers who unintentionally might damage a digital device while looking at a license, which is the same provision as for digital auto insurance. It also makes failure to display a license into a fix-it ticket or a correctable violation that you can cure by producing a license that was valid at the time of the demand for presentation within 30 days. It also includes a requirement that fur dealers, those that buy fur directly from a trapper, would have to have a fur dealer's license. It is true, Madam Chair, that this bill does not do everything digital. It does not cover commercial fishing, although that's a simple change that I look forward to pursuing in future years. And you would still have to fill in a paper harvest tag for certain species of fish and game. But software developers, even as we speak, are developing applications or apps that will allow digital harvesting reporting, allow digital signatures and other applications, and the department has the resources necessary and the desire, if I may speak for the department, to pursue that avenue. So in summary, this bill is a small bill with big benefits and no cost to the state. I appreciate your hearing it. I'm available for questions. We have a gentleman from Fish and Game and from Public Safety available for questions as well.
Representative Sadler, are you prepared to do a sectional walkthrough of the structure of your bill?
I can certainly do that, Madam Chair. And the version you got, let's see.
Version A.
I have version O, but the only change...
O.A.
Okay. The only change was in the fix-it ticket provision, so I can certainly do that. On page one, Madam Chair, section one, it simply adds that adds the fur dealing element to taxidermy. I understand there's about 115 taxidermists, and the department just wants to keep a better handle on where skins are going to. And I would have to defer to Ms. Morgan Foss with Fishing to speak about line six, about what the distinction is in adding permit to this, as opposed to just licensing.
If you could just continue, we'll go
sorry.
Back.
Okay, great. Okay, and section two simply adds that the fix-it ticket provisions, it also describes in paragraph G the license may be either in paper or electronic. Paragraph H on line seven indicates that the liability, immunity from liability for damage from a police officer. In section three, there are provisions that the current law requires that failure to have a license or failure to display a license is a misdemeanor. It includes two exemptions, the first being on page two, line 12, that the section AS 1605-330F is the fix-it ticket provisions created in section two of the bill. And the other provision, 1605-407B, is the provision that non-resident hunters must affirm that they will use a guide for in-state hunting on penalty of perjury, and that remains a Class B felony.
Are there questions on the sectional analysis? Ms. Voss, could you go over line six and tell us what the OR permit do you have information on that?
For the record, Morgan Foss, Legislative Liaison for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The terms tag, license, or permit cover all types of sport or recreational fishing, trapping, and harvesting activities that would be covered under this legislation.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Ms. Foss. Representative Sadler, thank you for introducing your bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on House Bill 260. It's an act relating to the possession of certain licenses, tags, permits issued by the Department of Fish and Game and providing for an effective date. The first person waiting to testify is off-net Al Barrett, a taxidermist out of Fairbanks. Mr. Barrett, welcome to Senate Finance.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
We can. Welcome to Senate Finance.
For the record, my name is Al Barrett. I'm representing the taxidermist in Alaska. We're an unorganized group. For the last couple of decades, there's about 56 of us licensed in the state, and I represent most of those, so I haven't talked to everybody. But we're asking for an amendment to this bill. It wouldn't change the bill's intent in any great means, but we're asking that you remove the taxidermy portion of having a license. And our reason for that is that $100 annually that we pay for a license, you know, goes into the Fish and Game Fund, and it really doesn't benefit the taxidermy industry or taxidermy businesses at all. It's just a fee collected for a license that we can hang on our wall. We're already required by state law to purchase a state business license. And if you're in Fairbanks or other municipalities that have municipality licenses, you have to have one of those. So, you know, currently in Fairbanks, I have to have three licenses to conduct the same business. And this is kind of redundancy. And it's not a great expense to the Department of Fish and Game. as you can see annually, on average, there's about 56 taxidermists. That's $5,600 a year that they would collect from licensed taxidermists. It wouldn't change. There's one regulation on the books that says that a taxidermist has to be licensed to sell an unclaimed trophy or finished skin. A business license would suffice for that, so that regulatory change wouldn't have any effect there. And well, there was one other thing. It escaped my mind. We realize that, you know, we've got a couple days left in the session and you're not really amendable to amendments, but we would really appreciate it to get rid of some of the redundancy on paying fees for the same license and the same opportunity to conduct business in the state. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Barrett, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Is there anyone else waiting online or here in Juneau to testify on House Bill 260? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Bishop, are you prepared to cover the fiscal note?
I am. I'm taking a note for you. So we have doubled up on our notes. yes. Okay. Department of Fish and Game, statewide support services. Allocation is in the commissioner's office. The OMB component number is 2175. It is a zero fiscal note under the analyses. On the back, on the second page of the bill describes how a person holding a fish and game sport, fishing, hunting, and trapping license or permanent ID card may display a valid copy in paper or electronic format to an enforcement agent as proof of possession. The department does not foresee that any statute or regulation currently restricts a user from displaying the actual license in either paper or electronic format, so long that it's valid and signed. Fish and Game Reg 5AAC 75006A requires non-transferable harvest records must be in possession for each person taking or retaining a fin fish for which an annual limit has been established for a licensed angler. A harvest record also appears on the back of the angler's sport fishing license. A harvest record may be obtained without charge from the department offices and fishing license vendors. Immediately upon landing a fin fish for which an annual limit has been established, the angler shall enter the date, location, body of water, species of the catch in ink or on the harvest record. Also, Fish and Game Regs 5AAC 92010 requires that a number of each harvest ticket issued to a hunter must be entered on the hunter's license. So, a harvest ticket issued the previous calendar year and still valid must also be entered on the hunting license. The department does not currently have the technology available to offer digital recording of harvest tickets or an electronic copy. An electronic copy of the valid license would need to include the harvest ticket numbers of the original licensee prior to the creation of that electronic image if the user were to legally engage in those activities. If the user intends to explicitly use the electronic copy of the valid signed license for sport fishing for a specific species with an established annual limit, the user would need to maintain a separate paper copy of the harvest record for the purposes of immediately recording harvests of those species. And I would emphasize that to, if this bill passes, that last paragraph to anglers or hunters that don't think this is a get-out-of-jail-free card. You got to have that harvest record in your back pocket or you're going to be having to answer for that. So, thank you.
Are there questions on the fiscal note? Seeing and hearing none, we do have the department online. We have the Director Brookover online from Fish and Game. Senator Michicki, did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to reiterate, I suppose it could be a question for Fish and Game, but that includes when you talked about duck hunting, you're going to have your stamps, you're going to have a paper copy for your federal and state stamps, you're going to have them available. If it's something that requires a tag, you're going to have a paper copy available. But the other thing is if you're in a duck blind at 28 degrees, your phone, just I think people should keep in mind, this will be convenient if you're going down to the pond trout fishing or you're hunting rabbits. It doesn't require a tag. But for any extended outings or when it's cold out, and you're going to need to have both in order to be compliant, I believe. But I'd like to hear that from Fish and Game to make sure that I'm assuming that correctly.
Director Brookover, are you the appropriate person to comment on Senator Machicki's question?
Madam Chair, Tom Brookover here, and yes, I can certainly comment on the fish side. I believe Director Dale's also online and can speak to duck stamps and so forth. But in short, Senator Machicki is correct. Where there are harvest recording requirements, for example, king salmon in Cook Inlet and Southeast have an annual limit. Where there are annual limits, people are required to record their harvest on the back of their license. If they were to obtain an electronic copy of the license, they would need to have a paper copy of the harvest record, which we provide free of charge, on them to record that information. And, that would be the case for the foreseeable future. We do envision and hope to develop the technology to record electronically in the future, but that is not likely going to be available at least for the next year or so. And I speak generally with respect to other harvest tags and so forth. King salmon tags are printed as a number when you buy your license electronically, so there won't be a need to retain a paper copy of a king salmon tag as long as you purchase your license electronically. But if you do buy a paper copy, obviously the paper stamp, I believe, would be affixed to that, Madam Chair. That's a summary for the fishing side.
Thank you for those comments, Director Brookover. Follow-up, Senator Machicki?
Just if we could get the game side on the record as well, I believe. I can't see the screen from here, Madam Chair, but is
Mr. Dale Bruce, Director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation?
This is Bruce Dale with the Department of Fish and Game. Can you hear me, Madam Chair?
Do you have comments on Senator Machicki's cautionary note to the people of Alaska who might own a license or try to use an electronic license, the warning that they're still going to need a paper copy to attach or fix some of the reporting requirements of the department, whether it's king salmon, whether it's harvest limits? Senator Machicki.
Duck stamps.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Essentially what Senator Machicki says is correct. For the near term, paper copy will be required for animals that have to be hunts where the animal has to be recorded when it's taken, as well as for the federal waterfowl stamp. There is provisions in the future for developing apps that would be able to do the recording, as Director Brookover said, and some states now do have a provision for selling a federal duck stamp, and I don't know if there's an electronic version of that or not, but those things are coming. Other states are developing. Other states have sort of interim where for example, Ohio, you have to have a paper license and recording ability for deer and turkeys, but for everything else, you can get by with just the electronic license. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Machicki?
Thank you.
Major Bernard Chasten, Alaska Wildlife Troopers, welcome to Senate Finance. Do you have comments on the bill before us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Major Bernard Chasten, the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. I'm the Deputy Director. I'm available for questions for enforcement, but I will add that both the Department of Fish and Game and the Department of Public Safety have had extensive discussions about electronic licensing. We've talked about some of the problems that have been brought forward today or some of the concerns. I'm confident that working together, our two departments will be able to come up with a way that is enforceable to be able to determine that someone has a valid license electronically or in paper format, depending on however the department can develop the applications. I'm confident that we can come to a solution at some point in the future.
Thank you. I do want to acknowledge, I know Senator Machicki has asked questions, but Senator Stevens is also at the table with us. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Major Chastain, is that correct?
That's correct.
Question, and you've read the bill and you're familiar with it. My scenario is a lot of places you don't have any signal. So if you took a picture and you had it in your saved file on your photograph section of your iPhone, would that and you spooled that up and presented it to a wildlife protection officer, would that suffice? Would that be legal?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, Major Chastain, for the record. Currently, as it's written, the requirement right now is to have your license in your possession with a signature on it in ink. I can tell you that what the law says and what actually occurs in the field sometimes is a little bit different. Sometimes people do take a backup photograph of their license, and they do present that to troopers to show that they actually do have a license. The best-case scenario here would be that electronic licensing is allowed, and Department of Fish and Game can develop some format that will allow for a variety of presentations, including a photograph of the license. However, the photograph does not take into consideration the recording requirements, things like your game tags that are written on the back of the license, and additional, anytime you have to add to that license, if you caught a king salmon, for instance, in saltwater or a variety of species in saltwater, that have to be recorded on the back of your license. So the scenario could potentially work. But you'd have to take multiple photographs if you caught more fish. You'd have to take another photograph. That would be the most recent photo of your license, because basically it's additive. You add to that license each time you record one of those things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, I just wondered if you thought about the dead battery scenario and how you would deal with that if someone tells you they have a license on a phone. I know it's out there, but this is a interesting discussion anyway. Can they present the license later? Of course, you wouldn't have the harvest info, but if it was just a basic license and the battery was dead, what happens?
Senator Chair, Senator Machicki. So the first portion of this bill, Section 1, addresses sport fishing, hunting, or trapping licenses. The second section of the bill addresses what happens if someone does not have that license in actual possession, and it makes it a correctable citation. So that means that we would likely issue a ticket to the person for not having a license in their possession, and then if they did have a valid license that was issued prior to that contact and they presented it within 30 days, that citation would basically be voided and it would not go on their record.
Thank you for those comments. Other questions from committee member Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure who to ask this to, but one of the thoughts is to address the question that was brought up by the taxidermist up in Fairbanks and whether we should be taking out taxidermy, which is on line 11, because of the concerns he had that the funds that are garnished from the taxidermist do not enhance their industry at all. I was wondering if maybe it's the sponsor that I should be asking the question to as to whether he was in favor of an amendment that would take that out.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Sadler, House District 13, through the chair to Senator Olson. My understanding, Senator, is that the department would prefer to maintain the information that they get from licensing taxidermists as part of their effort to maintain vigilance over poaching. Those who might tend to get big game animals and want to preserve them, a taxidermist is one of the places where that animal might arrive and end up at. And so by having that to some degree redundant regulation by a permit or a license for taxidermists is just one more tool that the law enforcement will have to prevent poaching in Alaska. And I believe Major Chastain would be available to comment on that and present the department's view, if that's fine.
Ms. Voss, could you approach the microphone and place yourself on the record?
Thank you. Morgan Foss, Legislative Liaison with the Department of Fish and Game.
Ms. Foss, do you have a perspective? We had a person who testified in and asked us to make an amendment to the document before us to remove taxidermy from the license?
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair. The department would prefer to keep that licensing provision in statute. It is currently the only regulation we have over that industry and ability to revoke licenses if there's an activity occurring via that taxidermist, such as poaching or transferring animal parts illegally. I believe that our wildlife director, Bruce Dale, and Major Chastain with DPS may have additional comments.
Major General Chastain, do you have comments on this issue?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Major Chastain with the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. We agree with the comments presented by Department of Fish and Game. However, from the enforcement standpoint, strict enforcement perspective, whatever the legislature decides as a licensing requirement is how we will enforce it. One of the points to consider, however, is taxidermy is a commercial operation, and there are some situations where Alaska Wildlife Troopers have cited taxidermists for illegal activity. Licensing is one way for a court to revoke the privilege of a person that has participated in illegal activity and is a taxidermist. So from that perspective, licensing is important.
Major Chastain, do we, you've indicated, I believe it was you who indicated in your testimony that there are some barriers in other portions of the code that require an ink signature on a piece of paper. Has this been adequately addressed in the bill before us? Is there another section of code, or is that in a regulation that needs to be changed?
Madam Chair, this is Major Chastain. That provision is in regulation, not in statute.
Thank you very much. So that would be the administration who needs to take care of that barrier then. Is there any other questions on the bill before us?
Actually, Madam Chair, I still have further questions along the same line.
Senator Olson.
I can hear what you're saying, is that this is the only way you can have a handle on the licensing of a taxidermist, but he's already paying a license for a taxidermist. I'm assuming the licensing that the taxidermist is under already has a board that has an investigation arm that can go into and essentially defrock a taxidermist that's not abiding or that is indeed involved in poaching. Is that not correct?
Ms. Foss.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I would defer to our wildlife director, Bruce Dale, to explain more about that.
Director Dale, do you have comments for Senator Olson?
Bruce Dale with the Department of Fish and Game. Could you repeat the question?
The question was, we had public testimony that asked us to amend this bill and remove the requirement for taxidermists to have a licensure in the state of Alaska. Senator Olson.
That is what was the testimony that was out there. The question that I have, though, has to do with the department, or at least a representative of the department has said that this is the only way that you can keep, or this is the only way that you can go ahead and have essentially a club over the taxidermists is to have them pay this fee to see if they're involved in poaching. And I was wondering, don't they already have that with the licensing board that they're under and a board that has an investigative arm to them?
I believe that you mean in a general business license?
Mr. Dale, yes, that is what he's referring to, is the regular business license under commerce.
I believe that the general business license doesn't necessarily single out the business as the taxidermy business. And so it's another activity, and it's sort of in a miscellaneous category, and it would be very difficult for the law enforcement department to track that, but I would defer to Major Chastain.
Senator Olson, follow up.
I guess I find it unusual that there's no revocation powers within the department to go ahead and withhold this gentleman or anybody's that's holding a taxidermist license to go from doing that.
Thank you, Senator Olson. With that, the bells have rung. Senator Bishop?
I'll wait till tomorrow.
If I could have amendments to my office by noon tomorrow, that is Wednesday, May 9th. Representative Sadler, closing comment for our consideration, briefly.
Very briefly, I would just say that the business, that the license to engage in taxidermy is probably a more fundamental right, and the business license merely regulates the practice, but we can engage in that rest.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
With that, I've asked members to set aside the bill. The House, or the Senate's bells have rung. We should be directly down to the floor. With that, on tomorrow meeting, we have tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. we'll bring back any bills we have ready to go that have been proper CSs ready to go. With that, we're adjourned.